10 things great communicators never say. Communication isn't just about what you say, it's also about what you don't say. The most influential leaders and communicators understand that certain phrases can instantly undermine their message, regardless of how valuable their ideas might be. As research published by the World Economic Forum indicates, communication is perhaps the most crucial leadership skill, yet it remains one where many professionals struggle. Whether you are leading a team meeting, delivering a presentation, or simply having a one-on-one conversation, the language patterns you use significantly impact how others perceive your competence, confidence, and credibility. Elite communicators have learned to eliminate certain phrases from their vocabulary, words and expressions that signal insecurity, create distance, or diminish trust. In today's professional landscape, where remote work and digital communication dominate, choosing your words wisely has never been more important. According to Forbes, leaders who excel in communication consistently outperform their peers in nearly every organizational metric, from team engagement to bottom-line results. Let's explore 10 phrases that great communicators have permanently eliminated from their vocabulary, and discover what they say instead to maintain influence and build stronger connections. 1. I think or I believe, hedging language. When you preface your statements with phrases like I think or I believe, you're unconsciously undermining your own authority. These hedging expressions signal uncertainty and suggest that what follows is merely an opinion rather than a well-considered perspective. Why it's problematic, while seemingly innocent, these phrases dilute your message and invite others to dismiss your ideas before fully considering them. They create a subtle power imbalance where your thoughts appear less valuable than they actually are. What great communicators say instead, they make direct statements that convey confidence and expertise. Rather than saying, I think we should revise our approach, they assert, our approach needs revision. This small adjustment transforms tentative suggestions into confident direction. Studies on communication effectiveness show that removing these hedging phrases increases perceived competence by as much as 30%. According to communication experts at Situational Communication, eliminating these linguistic crutches is one of the fastest ways to enhance your leadership presence. Of course, there are times when qualifying your statements is appropriate, particularly when speculating or offering genuine opinions. However, elite communicators save these phrases for those specific contexts rather than using them as default speech patterns. 2. This might sound stupid, but self-deprecation. Beginning a statement by undermining yourself is a common habit that exceptional communicators have eliminated. Phrases like this might sound stupid or I'm not sure if this makes sense instantly position your ideas as less valuable and create an expectation of mediocrity. Why it's problematic, self-deprecating language doesn't come across as humble, it comes across as insecure. Rather than endearing you to your audience, it gives them permission to value your contribution less. It also creates a psychological burden where listeners feel obligated to reassure you rather than engage with your actual idea. What great communicators say instead, they introduce their thoughts directly and with conviction. Instead of apologizing for an idea, they present it clearly and allow it to stand on its own merits. If additional context is needed, they might say, here's a perspective that adds a different dimension to our discussion. Research on high-performing teams shows that environments where members speak with confidence rather than self-deprecation foster significantly more innovation and psychological safety. By eliminating these undermining phrases, you create space for your ideas to be evaluated fairly. 3. It's not my fault, responsibility deflection. Nothing damages credibility faster than avoiding responsibility. When challenges arise, average communicators often default to defensive language and blame shifting. Great communicators never say it's not my fault or variations like don't blame me or there was nothing I could do. Why it's problematic, deflecting responsibility signals that you are more concerned with self-protection than problem solving. It creates an impression of unreliability and suggests that you might prioritize your ego over team outcomes. Even when circumstances truly are beyond your control, this phrasing focuses attention on blame rather than solutions. What great communicators say instead, they acknowledge the situation directly and pivot toward action. Phrases like here's what happened, and this is what I'm doing to address it, or I take responsibility for my part in this outcome demonstrate accountability and leadership. As noted in Entrepreneur's Analysis of Leadership Communication, accountability language is consistently associated with higher trust levels and stronger team cohesion. By owning outcomes both positive and negative, you demonstrate integrity that builds lasting credibility. This doesn't mean accepting blame for truly external factors, but rather reframing the conversation around response rather than responsibility. The distinction is subtle but powerful. 4. I'll try, non-committal language. When someone asks if you can deliver something, responding with I'll try might seem like an honest acknowledgement of effort. However, elite communicators recognize this phrase actually creates ambiguity and signals potential failure. Why it's problematic, I'll try includes a built-in escape clause. It hedges commitment and prepares others for your potential non-delivery. As Yoda famously said, do or do not, there is no try. This wisdom applies directly to professional communication, where clarity of commitment matters tremendously. What great communicators say instead, they either make clear commitments or provide specific parameters. Instead of I'll try to get that report done by Friday, they might say, I'll deliver the report by Friday or I can complete sections 1 and 2 by Friday, and the full report by Tuesday. When complete confidence isn't possible, they're specific about constraints. Based on our current information, I expect to deliver by Friday, though I'll update you by Wednesday if any obstacles arise. This approach to commitment language creates what communication experts call expectation alignment, a critical factor in preventing meeting failures and project breakdowns. By being precise about commitments, you build a reputation for reliability even when challenges arise. 5. That's not my job, dismissive boundaries. Few phrases damage collaborative relationships faster than that's not my job or its equally problematic variations like that's not my responsibility or that's not in my job description. While setting appropriate boundaries is healthy, the phrasing matters tremendously. Why it's problematic, this expression immediately creates division and signals a lack of team orientation. It positions you as someone focused on minimum requirements rather than overall outcomes. Even when a request truly falls outside your scope, this blunt refusal damages relationships. What great communicators say instead, they acknowledge the need while redirecting appropriately. Options include, I'm not the best resource for that, but I can connect you with Sarah who specializes in that area, or while that's outside my current focus, I'm happy to point you toward resources that can help. When workload is the real issue, they might say, I'd need to reprioritize my current projects to take that on. Can we discuss which tasks should take precedence? According to research on psychology of refusal, these redirection techniques allow you to maintain boundaries without creating resentment. They demonstrate respect for the requester's needs while still protecting your capacity and focus. 6. You wouldn't understand, condescension. Few phrases create distance faster than expressions that presume another person's capacity to understand. Statements like it's too complex to explain, this is too technical for you, or the direct you wouldn't understand instantly create hierarchy and resentment. Why it's problematic, these phrases don't just insult the listener's intelligence, they also signal an unwillingness to make your message accessible. Great communication isn't about displaying your knowledge, it's about creating shared understanding. These expressions fail at communication's primary purpose. What great communicators say instead, they adapt their explanation to their audience's background. They might say, "Let me explain this in a way that highlights the key points," or "The technical details are complex, but the main concept is." This approach respects the listener while still acknowledging varying levels of subject familiarity. Research published in Inc. magazine shows that speakers who avoid condescending language and instead use accessible explanations are rated significantly higher in both expertise and likability, a powerful combination for influence. The ability to explain complex concepts in accessible ways isn't just good manners, it's a mark of true mastery. As Einstein reportedly said, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. 7. I don't have time, poor prioritization. When declining requests or explaining delayed responses, average communicators often default to time scarcity. Phrases like I don't have time or I'm too busy have been eliminated from the vocabulary of elite communicators. Why it's problematic, everyone has the same 24 hours, saying you don't have time really communicates that the matter isn't a priority for you. This phrasing can feel dismissive of others' needs and portrays you as someone who lacks control over your schedule rather than someone making deliberate choices. What great communicators say instead, they acknowledge the trade-offs involved in time allocation. They might say, I'm currently focused on the Johnson project through Thursday. Could we schedule this for Friday? Or I've allocated my available time this week, but this is important to me. Can we plan for next Tuesday? These approaches honestly acknowledge capacity limits while still demonstrating respect for the request and maintaining agency over your schedule. The difference might seem subtle, but the impact on perception is significant. Experts in email communication note that response rates increase dramatically when time constraints are explained in terms of specific commitments rather than general busyness. This transparency creates understanding rather than frustration. 8. We've always done it this way, resistance to innovation. In rapidly evolving environments, Few phrases signal outdated thinking faster than "we've always done it this way" or "its variations, that's our standard procedure" or "that's not how we do things here." Great communicators have permanently removed these expressions from their vocabulary. Why it's problematic: this language immediately positions you as resistant to improvement and wedded to the past. It shuts down innovation without evaluating the merits of new approaches. Even when existing processes are actually superior, this phrasing fails to articulate the real reasons for maintaining them. What great communicators say instead: they focus on principles rather than procedures. They might say, "I'd like to understand how this new approach addresses the challenges we've encountered with similar methods, or our current process was developed to ensure X and Y outcomes. How would this alternative maintain those priorities while improving efficiency?" This approach demonstrates openness while still applying critical thinking. It positions you as someone focused on outcomes rather than methods, and willing to evolve when evidence supports change. According to research on organizational adaptability cited by the Forbes Leadership Council, teams whose leaders avoid status quo language consistently outperform more rigid organizations in innovation metrics. 9. Just and sorry, minimizing language. Small but powerful, words like just and habitual apologies significantly undermine communication effectiveness. Great communicators have developed awareness of these linguistic diminishers and removed them from regular use. Why it's problematic: just minimizes whatever follows it, "I'm just checking in" or "this is just a draft" signals that your communication doesn't deserve full attention. Similarly, over-apologizing, "sorry to bother you" before normal requests, positions your needs as impositions rather than legitimate priorities. What great communicators say instead: they make clean, direct statements without minimizers. Rather than "I'm just following up on our conversation," they say, "I'm following up on our conversation." Instead of "sorry to ask this," they might say, "I'd like your input on." When genuine apologies are warranted, they make them meaningful rather than habitual. This creates clarity in communication and maintains appropriate status in interactions. Studies on gendered communication patterns show that eliminating these minimizers can significantly impact professional advancement. As public speaking experts note, removing these words often requires deliberate practice, but yields immediate improvements in perceived authority. 10. Whatever or fine, passive aggression. Dismissive responses like "whatever" or "a terse fine" may communicate disinterest or resignation in personal relationships, but in professional settings, they're communication poison. Elite communicators never use these conversation enders. Why it's problematic: these responses signal disengagement while also conveying passive aggression. They shut down meaningful exchange without providing constructive alternatives. They're the verbal equivalent of walking away from a conversation, leaving issues unresolved and creating lingering tension. What great communicators say instead: when they disagree or feel frustrated, they express their position clearly or request time before responding. Options include, "I see this differently and would like to explain my perspective," or "I need some time to consider this further before responding." When compromise is necessary, they're explicit rather than resigned: "While this isn't my first choice, I can support this approach," rather than a dismissive fine. According to research on team communication dynamics, these transparent responses maintain engagement even during disagreement, a quality that distinguishes high-performing teams from average ones. By replacing passive expressions with active ones, you transform potential conflict points into opportunities for deeper understanding. Conclusion: becoming an exceptional communicator isn't just about adding powerful new phrases to your repertoire, it's equally about eliminating expressions that undermine your effectiveness. By consciously removing these 10 phrases from your vocabulary, you'll immediately enhance your leadership presence and influence. The journey toward communication excellence requires self-awareness and deliberate practice. You might consider asking a trusted colleague to flag these phrases when they appear in your speech, or recording important conversations, with appropriate permissions, to identify improvement opportunities. Remember that language patterns often operate below our conscious awareness, their habits formed over years of speaking and writing. Changing these patterns requires patience and consistency. As noted in studies on effective communication, most professionals see significant improvements after just 30 days of mindful language practice. By eliminating these common but problematic expressions, you'll join the ranks of communicators who understand that words create reality and who choose words that build connection, clarity, and confidence in every interaction.